One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
How important is baptism? Why should we be baptized? What does baptism mean? And why did Jesus give such emphasis to it when he said in the Great Commission before he ascended on high, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved." We're going to look at the great sacrament of baptism today and what it means and why it's so important for the Christian life and what its intention is. Jesus ordained it and gave it in the Great Commission. So thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we do direct you to our website at agradio.org. agradio.org. Call us at 888-504-8805. Again, 888-504-8805. Download the newly developed apps for Abounding Grace Radio so that you can take it with you wherever you go and listen at your convenience. And also, there's a Facebook page where you can make a connection with us there on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio. So thankful to have Pastor Mike Brown with us on this Friday session of Abounding Grace as we are continuing for some time now, Mike, our study in the Heidelberg Catechism. And again, I always say this up front, this is so important, but it's something that even as a pastor is helpful for me to be renewed in and to again think about these core doctrines of the Christian faith and to be refreshed in them, because we don't, as we go on, appreciate them as we should. And the Heidelberg provides that for us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We never outgrow the Heidelberg Catechism. And we've said it many times in this series, it's really one of the best summaries of the Christian faith that you can find anywhere on the planet. And whether you are unfamiliar with it or you've been familiar with it for a long time, we really encourage you to read it. It's very simple in the way it's laid out: guilt, grace, gratitude. God rescues us from our guilt because of our sin, and the law shows that to us. He rescues us through his grace given to us in Jesus Christ, and then we live a life of gratitude empowered by the Spirit. And the Heidelberg Catechism lays that out for you, and it puts it in question and answer format and in 52 Lord's Days or Sundays. So in other words, you can go through it in the course of 1 year.
Right. And so today on Abounding Grace, we are really moving into the section on the sacraments. And this is a very important section. Last time on Abounding Grace, we asked the question from Lord's Day 25, what are sacraments? What are they? What do they mean? And we had that answer that they are holy signs and seals for us, given for us to see. The Lord gave these to us to be a help to us, to understand the gospel more clearly, to understand what Jesus did for us more clearly. And he gave us something tangibly so that we could touch and handle and see and taste in the Lord's Supper, that we might be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. All these things for us because we need that, and the Lord ordained two sacraments to be of spiritual blessing to us. And today we're looking at the sacrament of baptism. And the question that we come across in Lord's Day 26 is this. This is question 69. How does baptism remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? And I just pause and say, notice how personal that is. Mm. You know, the Heidelberg Catechism from the beginning was about comfort, so that the Christian understands his comfort and that we would understand salvation. Yes, we understand the corporate way that the Lord works through the body of Christ, but there is this personal emphasis here that the catechism gives so that you can understand and be assured that Christ's great sacrifice is for you, dear listener. And that's a great comfort as we think about this.
Right. It's amazing how the sacraments function in that way, both corporately and personally. You know, sometimes we think that if something is personal, that means it's private. And that's not necessarily true. Something can be very personal and yet public, like baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism happens to me personally, and yet it's done in public, and the whole corporate body of the church witnesses it. Same thing with the Lord's Supper. It's something very personal. The bread and wine go in my mouth, and Christ testifies to me that he has given himself for me. And yet it can only be done, not in privacy, not by myself, but in the corporate setting of Christ's church in a public event.
Right. And it's important to say, and we'll look at this in the Great Commission, he said that to his disciples, going to be apostles, we understand. He gave that commission to them. Not everyone baptizes. It is in that corporate way as the church gathers that this is a communal and a corporate sign, but it's something that assures us personally. And what does it mean then? How does it provide a reminder to me, and how does it assure me? It's important to say up front, baptism itself is an initiation sign into God's covenant family. It's a sign of initiation. This is your new identity, and that's the sign that is it's declares to you. It's a sign that says you now identify with Jesus Christ. And that's the answer here. In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity, in other words, all my sins. So Mike, we have a natural way that we understand what water does, right?
Right.
Water washes us. Water cleanses us. We tell our kids when they're come in from the outside and playing in the dirt, you go wash your hands to scrub off the dirt. And the Lord is teaching us something with this sign, as that very element of water is used and put on somebody, as we make somebody wet, he's teaching us something about an inward reality, correct?
Right. Yeah, we have to remember that with sacraments, they are signs that point to the reality. And so the sign of water washing away dirt, something that everybody knows in any culture, that you need a bath in order to be clean, well, that's a sign that points to the reality, which is Christ's blood washing away our sins. The sign doesn't become the reality, and yet it's so connected to the reality that when we receive it by faith, it in fact strengthens our faith as a means of God's grace, his sanctifying grace by the Holy Spirit.
Right. And what an encouragement then this sign is, this sign and a seal, as it's showing for us this inward reality that the Lord accomplishes. Because the great problem, we have to say up front here, the great problem is that the heart is impure. Again, we live in a culture that tells us, listen to your heart, follow your heart's good, everything's fine. No, the message of Christianity is your heart is black, your heart is filthy before God, and you need to be cleansed. And to be identified with this pure, holy, righteous Savior, this sign is a sign for you to remind you and assure you what he has to do for you to be identified with him. And that's really important. We can never deny that initial problem of the darkness and impurity of our hearts, because it's this sign that's declaring to us how that problem is remedied. So that's where this next question leads us, where it's then asking us, what does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? So we're getting to the meaning of baptism, and I suppose it's helpful to ask our listeners, do you understand baptism? Is it something, you know, sacrament that we have not appreciated as we should? Why did the Lord, what did he want us to understand by it, and how should it encourage you even today as a Christian? What is its continual encouragement and assurance to you, this sign and seal? What did the Lord design in it?
Right. We need to remember that Jesus himself put great importance on baptism. Just before he ascends into heaven, he gives what is called the Great Commission to his church. So in Matthew 28, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's the basis of the Great Commission, Christ's authority. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's the goal. The goal of the Great Commission is that disciples of Christ will be made throughout the world. Then he explains the means, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The means to obtain that goal of making disciples is through word and sacrament, the teaching, the instructing, the preaching. And then also here we find him mentioning baptism. Baptism, there's two important things that go on with baptism. One is that it's the sign that includes people into God's covenant community. You cannot come into the church apart from baptism. Baptism is the doorway into Christ's visible church, much in the same way that circumcision was the doorway into the visible church during the Old Covenant. Now in the New Covenant, we have a sign that is that replaced the bloody sign, circumcision, one that because Christ's blood has already been shed, now this extends to male and female, to Jew and Gentile, all who will come into Christ's church through faith alone, and them, and as we'll talk about on the next program, their children. But what we find is that not only does it include you into the visible community of Christ, but as we said, it also testifies of a greater reality, which is what Christ has accomplished, his blood that washes away our sins.
Right. That's so helpful. And I think it's important to probably have our listener think about, what do you really understand by baptism? Do you think it, my guess is, Mike, that the average listener, and this is maybe the fault of teachers today and not making this clear, they think baptism is their personal renewal to Jesus or something, their ultimate commitment to Jesus. Remember, this is a sign and seal, and it's a gracious sign. It's a sign that the Lord gives to us. And notice then what it means. What is he doing for us? That's what it's declaring. It's declaring gospel to us. Mm-hmm. Remember, gospel is his work, not ours. Gospel is what he has lavished down upon us from another country so that we should be called children of God. Well, what then when I, that sign, what is it declaring to me? What is that visible word declaring to me? It's this. Baptism means that I am washed with Christ's blood, that God, by his grace, has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart to be a member of Christ so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and a blameless life. So notice there, Mike, The wonderful assurances that are given and declared, and I'm sure we'll talk about here in a minute, it's not baptism itself that does this.
Right.
It's Christ that does this. What does he do? What does it declare to us? It declares that he has forgiven us all of our sins by his grace because his blood has been shed and poured out for me on the cross so that I can enjoy this new life.
That's right. And yet it's not an unimportant sign. This is an essential sign. Jesus made it an essential means for discipleship. It's not something that is optional. We need to remember that. You know, there's a lot of people today that might think, well, baptism is something that, you know, you do when you're ready, if you want to. You know, I went to a church where the only time people were baptized was during the summer at the beach. And that is not the New Testament model. The biblical model for baptism is once a person says, I am a Christian, I am a believer, he, and as we'll argue soon, his children are to pass through the waters of baptism. He comes into the visible community. This is what Heidelberg 70 is pointing out, that it sets me apart to be a member of Christ. So baptism is really the entrance into the life of discipleship. Now I'm following Jesus because I have passed through those waters that he has provided to me as a sign of what he has done on the cross.
Right. I mean, the scriptures use this language everywhere. I've been conveyed out of one kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light by the Son. And this is what that sign's declaring to us. Our conveyance out of darkness into light. Our conveyance that we were once dead in trespasses and sins, and by his grace have been washed, forgiven, and set apart, as Mike so helpfully said, set apart to him to be new creatures, to be his special treasure, to be his own people who've been called out of darkness and brought into this marvelous light. So that sign is declaring that to us. And, you know, I think it's helpful to say that a lot of the old reformers were comfortable saying, Mike, you know, in times of distress and doubt, they would look to their baptism. Now they're not looking to their baptism as the thing that saves. They're looking to the sign to remind them what Jesus did for them. Think about it. You can say, Mike, in all of your struggles, I've been baptized. I've been set apart to Christ. Christ has washed me. I received that by faith. Absolutely. But it's that sign that declares to me the visible word of his washing, love, and forgiveness. And I need that, and you need that, don't you?
That's right. That's right. It's something so important that we can continually look back to and be reassured of what Jesus has done for us.
Right. So then, and then the second part of 70 is to be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set apart to be a member of Christ so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and a blameless life. There's a goal to this, isn't there?
Right.
There's a goal that's set before us that baptism given to me declares forgiveness, but it also declares that I'm a new creature and that I am now, as it says here, I become dead to sin and have a drive now to live that washed life.
Right. And we need to remember that it's not just for you personally. It is personal, but it's not only personal. It's also a collective thing. Because notice that it says, set me apart to be a member of Christ. To be a member of Christ is not something that we are disconnectedly from other members of Christ.
Right.
So when you are baptized, Christian, you are baptized into Christ's body, into Christ's church. That means also we need to be a member of some local congregation that bears the marks of a true church. In other words, if you've been baptized and you are a professing Christian, and yet you are not a member of a local church, then you are living out of sync with your baptism. You can't merely pursue a Christian life seeking to become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life apart from being a member of Christ's body someplace visibly. And so baptism means that we enter into Christ's church to live a life of discipleship, and we remain in Christ's church as a living member until the day of our death.
I don't know if we could emphasize that enough, because it really is a sign too that's reminding us of that we have been brought into a new family.
That's right.
And that family we're not divorced from. We're intimately involved with that family. We're a member of that family. We share in that family. And Jesus spoke this way everywhere, that when somebody becomes a Christian, even old blood ties are now different of your physical family. Now your mother and your brother and your sister and your father are those of the family and household of faith, because you have been adopted by grace, and that sign of baptism declares that you've been made a member of that new family of God by his grace, set apart to him to be his treasure. And I really appreciate that emphasis.
Right.
I think we have to emphasize that today.
Absolutely. I look at it like this. You know, when you are baptized, no matter what age you were, you received, as it were, a jersey for a team. You are on the team now. You have a jersey. If you stop going to church, you're like a team member that doesn't show up for practice, right, Doesn't show up for games. You know, where is he? He's missing. And so if that describes you as you're listening to this now on the radio or on a podcast, we encourage you to get back into the church. You've been baptized. You need to come back to practice, as it were. You need to come and show up for the games, as it were, because you're part of that team. Christ has made you part of that team by a sign that testifies of his work at Calvary.
Amen. Good stuff. So, you know, I think the next logical question, which is something that the Heidelberg does address in question and answer 72, then, well, you guys have said all these wonderful things about baptism. Maybe you're putting a little too much confidence, someone might be hearing this, I'm assuming this, in baptism itself. You know, and I've heard that claim made. There are those who are called sacramentalists, and everyone seems to flee the other way and think that we may be saying too much about baptism. Well, the Heidelberg addresses that. The Heidelberg asks that important question. Wait a minute. Are you saying that the outward washing with water itself is what washes away sins? That's an important question. We've got to be really clear about that. And the Heidelberg's really clear about that. Here's the answer. No. Only Jesus Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit cleanse us from all sins. We're not saying the old Roman Catholic view, and still the Roman Catholic view is called ex opere operato, meaning that by the act performed by the priest, when it's done, it immediately takes away sin. We don't believe that. That is not biblical. Paul made the case that even with circumcision, Abraham was justified far before that sign was given to him. And the point here that we want to emphasize, that the Heidelberg emphasizes, is that the inward washing that takes place is only something that Jesus' blood accomplishes as the Holy Spirit effectually applies that cleansing to the heart. That's something that he does. It's received through the means of faith, faith alone. We don't, baptism itself doesn't accomplish that, but it's a sign for those who have faith of assurance and encouragement to them in the struggle that they are indeed washed. And
that's
I need
right.
that.
That's right. And we need to remember the biblical doctrine of justification, that is being declared righteous before God by God, is by faith alone. We are justified by faith alone, is what Paul says everywhere in Galatians and Romans and elsewhere. But we're not justified by baptism, but by faith. However, true faith will not reject baptism. True faith will then receive baptism. True faith will then seek to be baptized. And as we'll argue, me and my children, I will bring my family through the waters of baptism in the same way that an old covenant convert would be circumcised and have his sons circumcised. That is very important for us to understand. We can think of hypotheticals where a person may come to faith without being baptized. You know, maybe there's a missionary in a jungle someplace and witnessing to people, and then he dies, and someone comes to faith based on the testimony that the missionary gave, and there's nobody there to baptize him. There's certain hypothetical situations we can think of, but for a person to place their faith in Jesus Christ and then not be or refuse to be baptized, that would be an evidence that maybe this person doesn't have true faith, because true faith will then desire to submit to the Lord Jesus, who has commanded us, go and be baptized.
Well, and I think to go along with that, in support of that, I mean, is this sign a burden to us?
Right, exactly.
This is an exciting thing. You get to be identified with the family of God. God is inviting you into his family, and God is giving you a sign of assurance and encouragement. This should be the most exciting thing you do.
Right.
I get to enter into this family, and you see that, you know, in Acts 2, Mike, when Peter was preaching the sermon, and they were cut to the heart by that sermon, and it really had gotten into the heart. They really were convicted about their sin and the terrible situation that they were in, their desperate situation. Remember what they said? We heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We've just heard your sermon. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah. What do we do? We realize we're in trouble without him, and we crucified the Lord of glory. Our sins caused this." Here's the answer. Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the importance there. This is the first thing that Peter says. You turn away from yourself, turn away from your sins, turn to Jesus, and receive the sign of identification and washing that you need. You be baptized, and then what does he say? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's what it declares to you, that Jesus has accomplished. That was all over the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
When people came, what do? You repent, and you be baptized. Be identified with him.
Right, and they were. It goes on in verse 41 to say, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." It's interesting to me that in the modern evangelical church, the altar call has sort of replaced baptism. The altar call has sort of become a new sacrament for the church, when in fact, we don't find the altar call anywhere in the New Testament.
Right.
What we find, rather, is the apostles calling people to repent and believe, and the altar call, if you will, was baptism. And baptism meant entrance into the new covenant church, because then the next verse is verse 42. And what do these baptized people do? Do they all go their separate ways and live a life disconnected from one another? No, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and they became a new community. So baptism, we have to understand, the sign that points to the reality of what Christ has accomplished, but it's also the entrance into the life of discipleship that is not only personal, but it is also public and it is also corporate. It binds us together, if you will, as a family, a new covenant community. And so again, we urge you, if you're baptized, you've been baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ, and you need to be a member of some local congregation.
Right, and it says there, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That they only knew the church was being added to by that sign. So, and that comes as a command, doesn't it? As we're on the radio today speaking, you know, people need to repent. The Lord says, repent, turn away from yourselves, and come and be baptized into the body of Christ. And we say that with any pleading with any of our listeners today. If you've not identified with Jesus and you don't know him, the Lord, this is his call. This is his command. Repent, turn from yourselves, be baptized, be identified with him. And here's the encouragement. You will be washed. All of your sins will be washed away by his blood. And that's the final question here in question 73. Why does the Holy Spirit call baptism the washing of regeneration, the washing away of sins? Well, God has good reasons for that. He wants to teach you that the blood and spirit of Christ washes away our sins, just as water washes away dirt from our bodies. But more important, think of the tender way the Heidelberg says this here. He wants to assure us by this divine pledge and sign that the washing away of our sins spiritually is as real as physical washing with water. Listen, when you're washed and dirt comes off, you experience that. You see that. You know what being cleansed means. You know that in real life, he really does that for you by the precious blood of Jesus. Boy, that has to be emphasized, doesn't it, Mike?
Amen.
Well, so grateful you've tuned in to Abounding Grace Radio today. We hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you. If you'd like a copy of the Heidelberg, do please write to us. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, agradio.org. Until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in all of its glory, continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.